You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
We welcome you in at 3 past 3, the gym class for a Monday here at KGYM, 1600 AM all over Eastern Iowa, along with 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, the Gym OT 107.5 FM with its great lineup of shows. Check that out at our website at KGYMradio.com, also 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Scott Unash with you from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Mark Dukes joining me from his home on the southwest side via the miracle of Skype. And great to have the incomparable Taylor sitting in today on the other side of the glass helping us out. Do appreciate that. We are available to you via the text line at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is our text line. That is also our phone line as well on this. It looks beautiful from inside today, Mark, but it is not a great spring day out there.
Well, it wasn't a great spring weekend either. And just kind of heightened everybody's anxiety and staying in the house and whatnot. But that too passed. We've had a sunny day. It's not a golf day, but at least the sun's out, and that's helpful.
It is. Makes you feel a little bit better out there. And yeah, we'll talk about the weekend and some very interesting things, and not all great, coming out of the weekend. We'll do that coming up on the program here as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. We are presented, as always, by Hennings Financial. And find out more about Hennings Financial at our website at kgymradio.com. Do appreciate all their help, as they are the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program each and every day right here on KGYM. Tonight, we have for you something that I am certainly going to take in, as we have another one of our NFL Classic games from Westwood One, NFL playoff games. Our second one, of course, last Thursday, we had the Packers and the Cardinals from 2010. This one only goes back to February, as it'll be the replay of Super Bowl 54, where the Kansas City Chiefs picked up their second world championship as they knocked off the San Francisco 49ers. Westwood One will replay that for you tonight, starting at 7 o'clock. We'll carry it on the Gym OT 107.5 FM along with 106.3 FM. I'm a little biased, Mark.
Yeah, I figured you knew that song and verse by now, not having to listen to it. But I guess when your team wins, you can listen to it as many times as you want, right?
Watch, listen, see highlights. It doesn't matter. I will still camp out, and maybe I'll sync them up or something like that. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out coming up tonight. We haven't gotten that far yet, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun. Then on Thursday night, another Super Bowl, I do believe, as it will be Super Bowl 42, the Giants and the Patriots. I believe that's the one where the Giants spoiled the Patriots' perfect season. And with that terrific catch made in that particular ball game. So that'll be coming up on Thursday night, another Super Bowl rebroadcast for you from Westwood One, and we'll offer that on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. How was your weekend?
Weekend was good, despite the aforementioned rain. Got some work done, got a little bit done here and there, and doing what we can. I, you know, what was on TV? What'd you watch on the weekend?
Well, Saturday, I watched the rebroadcast of Phil Mickelson winning his first major. After the rains hit, and Rick and I got rained out after 15 holes on our golf. But we probably should have got rained out after 9, but we were foolishly enough still going on while the temperature dropped about 15 degrees. Anyway, no, I watched a lot of Masters over the weekend. I cannot say that I did take in a whole lot of the rebroadcast of last year's match. I watched Saturdays.
Well, I felt obligated to watch the Masters too, because it was originally Masters weekend. Of course, the tournament will be in November of this year, but I did tune in to, you know, you forget, at least I do, certain tournaments, you know the outcome, but you forgot how it got there. You know what I mean? And that's one of the reasons I like to look back on these events. I did not watch NBA Horse.
You were lucky.
Mainly because I knew it was a video game, PlayStation type thing, or one thing or another.
Well, no, it was actually, they were actually playing. But
oh, they were.
It was choppy. It was choppy video, and it was kind of tough to follow, and it was just, it wasn't, it didn't make for great television, and I think that's what pretty much everyone has kind of relegated themselves to. It wasn't the hit that the esports racing has been. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I guess if I had to tune in, I would have known that, but it just didn't interest me. It's a trumped-up event you know, we may or may not see more of. I actually enjoyed watching a replay of one of the National Spelling Bees.
Did you?
I did. It was on ESPN late yesterday afternoon, evening, something like that. And saw a 12th grader with a beard. Or not a beard, but with a mustache. And he ended up second place. But some of the words, are you kidding me?
Did they?
You know, I've used a lot of words in my life, but none of them that ever appeared on the National Spelling Bee, I don't think.
Now, did they ask all of the pertinent questions after?
Well, of course.
They heard every word?
Origin of the word. Yeah.
Use it in a sentence.
That got old. Yeah. That got old.
319-366-1600. News from the weekend. Unfortunate news from the weekend, besides what Kyle Larson did. Which was just, yes, I know it's virtual racing and whatnot. And again, if we wouldn't take this so seriously, I think that, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. Not saying that Kyle Larson should be, not taken to task for what he said, but, so many platforms for the e-racing now that NASCAR has put up there, and you knew something bad was going to happen, and something did bad, very bad happen. And Kyle Larson's going to have a lot of wrath coming up from his sponsorship. And who knows if he loses his ride over this with Ganassi Racing. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. But unfortunately, some sports deaths over the weekend once again. And for folks around here that are baseball fans, the Chicago Cubs, Glenn Becker passing away over the weekend, the second baseman from the Cub teams of, mid-60s to late-60s. I know he ended his career, I think, with the San Diego Padres. But a very steady second baseman. Didn't do a lot of flashy things, but he was, I think, three-time All-Star or something like that. And certainly one of those guys that if you are a Cub fan that you really enjoyed watching.
You know, that was a time I was in my early teens in, say, 69. The Cubs had a hell of a team in 1969. Of course, they blew the lead late in the season after leading the division leading the Mets for a better part of that season. But, I mean, around that infield, you talk about Santo and Kessinger and Beckert and Banks and, you know, you had two other Hall of Famers besides Santo and Banks, Billy Williams and Fergie Jenkins. But you described Becker well, I thought. He was a very steady player. Won a gold glove, three or four All-Star games. Never hit for power, but he didn't strike out a whole lot either. That's the kind of guy you really want on your team. And digging into his career a little bit today, I didn't realize he started his professional baseball career in Waterloo.
Yeah.
When Waterloo had a Midwest League team. So, people of age might remember Glenn Becker passing through Waterloo, but I watched a lot of those games back then. They were on WGN, and I can't remember the Turner Network was on then, but later on, for a long time, the Cubs and Braves were it. And in our region, the Twins were on KWWL, but you didn't have the all the platforms there are today. If you're a baseball fan, you watch the Cubs. And, first Jack Brickhouse and then Harry Carey. And, you became familiar with those teams. I was kind of a fan, but never a big fan, because I always was partial to the Twins. But, yeah, Glenn Becker, a very solid player and a very, very good couple, three teams there for the Cubs.
283 career hitter, I believe, was his career batting average. And, yeah, start off in Waterloo, and we would be remiss, and we'll talk about this coming up with our guest Mike Halas of the Gazette here in a little bit. Today would be opening day for the Cedar Rapids Colonels, by the way. And it would be a perfect and unusual opening day for the Colonels with sunshine, wind from about 20 and 42 degrees outside. So,
yeah, would be a typical night in my days of covering the minor league team out there, that it rains from postponements because of snow on the ground to 60, 70 degree days. You never knew what you were going to get in April, and it always really, it was interesting watching, and still is today, watching players from down south or maybe even the Dominican and like that. They've never experienced weather like this, but unfortunately they don't get to experience it, and I'm sure they would deal with 35 degree weather, 40 degree weather if they possibly could right now.
A lot of those folks had never seen snow before when they came to Cedar Rapids. Never in their lives. They were the ones that wanted to go out and play in the snow. And then they found out it was cold and then went inside. And that's pretty much the MO every year with that. But no, certainly no minor league baseball today, and no baseball, at least for the offing. Here, we do have Korean baseball, if you would like to follow that. Doug Sanders passing away over the weekend. Former PGA Tour pro, maybe more known for his wardrobe than his play, though.
Well, yeah, I was surprised that he won 20 times on the PGA Tour, including his first one as an amateur. And he's more, I will always remember him, number one, for the way he dressed. He was flamboyant. What was he, the flamingo of the PGA Tour or something like that?
Yes, he was.
And but I'll remember him for the 1970 British Open. He had a chance to win the tournament on the 72nd hole. And as I can relate to, not in British Open pressure, missing a 30-inch putt. And that caused him to have to go to a playoff the next day with Jack Nicklaus, where he lost by one. And Sanders never did win a major. But he was a really colorful guy, no question about it. And if memory serves, I think he played in the Amana VIP.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
At least once or twice, yeah.
In the early Amana VIPs, certainly did. And, he was always known for his unusual wardrobe. Some people did call him the flamingo out there because he'd wear the pastels and he'd wear some outlandish shoes and things like that. And he dressed the part, certainly. Doug Sanders will be missed. We also lost Sir Sterling Moss over the weekend. 212 total wins in many different classifications as far as auto racing is concerned. Member of the Hall of Fame, F1 legend, never did win a world driving title, came very close. Never got to drive for Ferrari, and that was the one thing he wanted to do. I believe that was what I remember correctly, and just never had that opportunity to win the World Driving Championship. But he was also lost over the weekend. 319-366-1600. A little bit of football news, pro football news to let you know about. If you're a fan of the Colts, They want you to buy new merchandise because the Colts have very slightly changed. At least they've gone to a secondary logo, which includes the state of Indiana. It's a kind of an unusual thing. They're going to stick with the horseshoe, of course, and the uniforms with a couple of very slight modifications. But other than that, nothing really has changed as far as Indianapolis is concerned. But they've been they're going to be in their 35th year in Indianapolis, Mark. That floored me.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think that horseshoe is one of the iconic logos in the National Football League, if not all of sports. And why change it? Well, you mentioned merchandise sales. Why do you need an alternative logo or alternate? I guess I don't get it, but
so you can wear it once a year. So you can wear it once a year, and people see it, and then they want to buy the jersey. It's simple.
Yeah,
it's simple. That's the reason behind it. That's the reason behind it. There you go.
319-366-1600 is our text line and our phone line. Cage and Troy rubbing it in once again today, saying she was 8 in 1969. Ha, ha, ha. Yes, I'm older than you, Cajun Troy.
8721 has got a great one.
Go ahead.
8721 lets us know, as far as watching replays of classic games and whatnot, I found myself yelling at the refs from a 1992 NBA game. My wife said, "Really?"
I like that. I like that.
1992 game. But you're right. As far as watching, and I think that's kind of, we've gone into classic mode here a little bit as far as going through into week 4.5, coming up on 5 weeks on Thursday, as far as staying at home and quarantining ourselves and whatnot, as far as a stop the spread of the coronavirus is concerned. And not only has virtual racing been the big winner, but also I think classic. And we don't see as many of those games anymore. Used to be on ESPN that they didn't have all the ancillary programming as far as the, 18 talk shows back to back to back to back to back about two guys debating one another. They used to show old games before ESPN Classic was launched. Now a lot of cable providers don't even carry ESPN Classic anymore. ESPN Plus has kind of taken some of that away, and they store a lot of old archives of games as far as that is concerned. Been watching a lot of Masters coverage via that over the last several days. But at any rate, we're seeing a lot more of that, and I think, like you said, people forget about how great those games and those tournaments were.
Well, I hate to rain on your parade, but right now the NFL Network is showing the 2018 Chiefs and Rams game.
Yes. Well, it was a great game.
It was a great game.
First of 50 and was going to win.
Major League Baseball Network is showing the 82 Game 7 World Series between the Brewers and Cardinals. How about that?
That's a good one there. That with Bamberger and also Willie McGee coming up with the St. Louis Cardinals back then in 1982. Troy again weighing in on the text line. She cried for Tiger yesterday and yelled at Drew Brees for throwing on 3rd-and-2 last Monday night.
Oh, he's going to be a great announcer for NBC, Troy.
Hopefully
enjoy
not.
Enjoy your last season with Drew Brees.
It might be the last year for Drew Brees. Yeah, that's one of the big things is that Drew Brees is going to step into the football booth, wherever it may be. Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. I know Monday Night is after him, courting him very, very well right now. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Drew Brees is pretty good, though. I'll hold on to him.
I think he's going to be really good. You know, I enjoy Tony Romo.
I think he's great.
He is, and I think our friend Kurt Warner does a nice job on television, but I think Drew Brees will bring a really, really good perspective. And Brees, going to do that. Dan Fouts is out.
Yeah, that surprised me.
Yeah, he was with the Iron Eagle, was he not?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
The bird and the beard for many, many years. But they were the number two team for CBS. And, yeah, Dan Fouts, his contract will not be renewed. So there's going to be an upheaval as far as CBS in their broadcast booths are concerned. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to the Gazette's Mike Colas coming up in just a little bit. You know who's going to make a very good broadcaster, by the way, watching Saturday and the replay and watching the interaction between Jim Nance and himself? Phil Mickelson's going to be in a booth sometime soon.
Oh, yeah. I expect him to be on the golf course for quite some time, but, yeah, he could be really good.
Is going to be really, really good down the line. But let's hope he's got a little bit more golf in him. He's going to turn 50 this year. And now he's going to be one of those guys you got to wonder, what are they going to do? Because a lot of the 50-year-olds, they run to the senior tour because it's basically an ATM machine for them.
Yeah, I don't think Phil's going to leave the PGA Tour anytime soon.
No, he may get into the senior open and things like that, but...
Yeah, I would agree with that. Davis Love bounces back and forth between the two tours, playing a lot less on the PGA Tour, but I think Phil still has aspirations on the PGA Tour.
He wants to win some more majors out there.
Yeah.
All right, 324. We're going to take a break, come back. Mike Colas going to join us. There is plenty to talk about with Mike, not only as far as Iowa Hawkeye men's basketball is concerned, but everything going on in this world right now in our crazy times here. 324, we're going to take a break, come back, and we'll talk with the Gazette's Mike Colas after this. You're listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM.
The term yoga in general kind of emulates community. I had the business plan in my head for years, but never really knew if I was going to be able to kind of take that leap. I knew it was going to be a lot of work, but I knew that the passion was going to make it not seem like work. Zupacca was really there for me, helping me kind of gain financial literacy. So that way, the day that I did actually walk in the door, I had a really good credit score. Anything along the way that I did, I wanted to make sure that I was being smart about it and I was doing it the best way possible. Everything from the business loan to setting up the LLC, and then the insurance of the business as well, too. Zupacca really was a great guide and a resource for me getting this whole entire project off the ground. We've built an amazing community here within Soul Revolution, and honestly, we could not have done that without the help and support of Zupacca. There's been a couple of classes when I'll walk in, and especially when it's a busy room and I start to get choked up. Those are the days when it's like, this is what I was supposed to do.
Your money for good. Learn more at Zupacca.com. Equal housing opportunity.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, Iowa law prohibits price gouging. It is illegal to charge excessive prices for goods and services needed by disaster victims. This applies to items sold in stores, on social media, or online. Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller will pursue price gouging complaints, and businesses or individuals found in violation could face penalties of up to $40,000. Report price gouging at iowaattorneygeneral.gov or 888-777-4590. Furnished by the Iowa Broadcasters Association.
At Network Computer Solutions, we understand these are unprecedented times. First, we hope you and your family are well. And second, we want you to know we are here and will continue to offer IT support. If you need remote access to your office, we can assist with that. We will be taking all recommended precautions to keep our employees safe and will provide remote assistance whenever possible. Call us at Network Computer Solutions, 319-247-7223.
The Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency is closed to the public right now because of the COVID-19 public health crisis. But rest assured, Linn County, that essential services are working. Garbage collected curbside is being landfilled, and so is garbage from current commercial account holders. So keep using your curbside services, residents, and learn about your garbage options at solidwasteagency.org. That's solidwasteagency.org. Social distancing will keep you and the Solid Waste Agency staff safe. And please, stay home if you can.
It's fine if you don't feel fine right now. You're allowed to feel worried or afraid, but if your worry or fear has taken you to a dark place you can't see yourself climbing out of, it's time to talk. There are people available right now at Community Crisis Services and Food Bank. They're great listeners. just call 855-325-4296. Or if you'd rather text, no problem. It's the same number, 855-325-4296. At KGYM, we care about you now and always.
Back on the Gym Class on this Monday here at KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, the Gym OT, 107.5 FM and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. We buried the lead today, Mark. The lead is 23 years ago today, the classic and one of the greatest, greatest sports franchises of all time played their final game. The Hartford Whalers closed things up in 1997 on this particular day with the win at the Hartford Civic Center. So they got to play Brass Bonanza one more time.
Well, I'll take your word for it, not being an NHL fan. So, yeah, kind of a classic franchise, I think. I love the nickname.
The Whalers? Oh, it was
the
beloved.
Whalers.
It was beloved. And they went on to Raleigh, North Carolina to become the Carolina Hurricanes. So there you go. The rest is history. He knew this. Mike Loss joining us here at 329 on a Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. As you can read Mike's writing and his columns at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at Halas. Also, lamenting the fact that we lost the Hartford Whalers 23 years ago today. How you doing, Mike?
Yeah, well, I wasn't aware of that fact, but now you've got me completely bummed out.
I'm so sorry.
For nothing.
I'm sorry. Well, let's start off with Iowa Hawks.
I want you to know that I'm actually responsible for the National Hockey League merging with the World Hockey Association.
Are you? There's got to be a great story behind that.
There's really no story at all. I just thought it was a good idea, and they took me up on it and did it.
The rest is history, as they say.
Hey, before we get into the real stuff, I want Halas to know that, number one, I was surprised to see
you can call
his
me
byline
Mike.
On the... Number one, I was surprised to see his byline on the Kids Gazette page. And I aced his little quiz, which makes me smarter than a fifth grader. I don't know.
Well, you're partly right. You don't know, but yeah, I mean it's all hands on deck. Let's be versatile. There's not much sports going on. Not much. There's none. And so any little way I can contribute, I'm gonna try.
We're all trying right now. That's what the best advice we can give everybody out there. And stay at home unless absolutely necessary out there and take all the precautions.
This was supposed to be the night of the Colonel's home opener.
Yes. That's why it's 42 degrees with a 25-mile-per-hour wind.
I know. I was thinking that, too. It's like, well, of course it's got to turn rotten.
After a nice week.
I mean... you know, the thing is, I think I'm going to write something about this later this week, but I don't like going to the ballpark when it's cold. In fact, I just don't. I got to have warm weather to sit outside for anything, basically. And I'll tell you what, if there'd been a game tonight, I'd have gone.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people would.
I would have sat by myself, but yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and it's like I used to wonder what kind of person goes out there in April and May at night when it's 30, 35, 40 degrees. And I think I got a better understanding of it now. It's because they needed it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that simple. I should have figured that out on my own, but now I understand it. And yeah, they needed it then. And I think people need it now, but it's not coming up for a while.
Is not.
Mike,
is not.
Let's talk.
Not exactly a little merry sunshine, huh?
Well, let's talk what is real, and that is Luka
Garza. Well, we're here. We're all here. We're all talking. We're lucky so far. So let's, you know.
True.
Yeah.
We are indeed. I couldn't agree more. But Luka Garza, not surprising to anyone, I don't think, is going to test the NBA draft waters. And I have to admit, Mike, I'm not familiar with the whole process. I know you covered it with Joe Wieskamp last year, and it seems a bit odd because I think it's part of it is the fact that they try out with different teams. Yeah. And in this, you know, what we're going through right now, I don't know how that's all going to work. Plus the fact the NBA draft might be pushed back. Therefore, the deadline to declare might be pushed back. So how are you viewing this whole thing?
I you know, it's like a lot of things, Mark. I don't know the answers. And I don't think that the NBA knows the answers. The NCAA knows the answers. The players know the answers. The only thing I can figure is that if nothing else, he'll have a lot of video and telephone chats with NBA people who can, you know, maybe enlighten him on where he really stands, what he really needs to do to be, you know, more of a genuine NBA prospect in their eyes. I don't know where he stands right now myself. I've seen second round, but you know, we don't know. These things have been known to change considerably from the time players come out for the draft until draft day. There's a combine, there's individual workouts, all those sorts of things that, as you alluded to, won't be happening. So I think he just wants to find out where he stands. And if teams would tell him, look, we think you're an NBA player right now, or go play that senior year, get better. I mean, you know, you can dress up videos any way you want to that you produce yourself, but these major league franchises, they are going to make their own decisions as opposed to the, you know, whatever you tape together to make yourself look good. It's the same way in football too. I mean, I talked to Michael Sweep Dalton, the Iowa punter, last week, and he put together an 8-minute video. And if you watched it, and I did, he looks like, you know, he looks like basically the best punter that's ever played the game of football. NFL teams aren't going to look at that and say that's the best punter who ever played the game of football. Now, they might say, well, he's definitely got skills, but you've got to earn it in front of them, not by talking to them, not by putting together a, you know, a mixtape. And I don't know how any of this is going to work.
And I agreed. And it's going to be interesting, this whole draft process for 2020. And no one is really surprised, I think, that Luka Garza went into put his name in because, like you said, you get the feedback and they don't sugarcoat things. And they're going to tell you if something's wrong.
Scott, Fran McCaffrey urged him to do it.
Absolutely.
And he did the same thing with Tyler Cook and with Peter Chuck. You'd be a fool not to do it. You know, I mean, you go, Joe Wieskamp last year worked out for a few NBA teams. Well, all that can happen from that is you learn stuff. And so, of course, Garza's going to do it. I mean, Garza's got a thirst to get better. And he also has a thirst to know what he's got to do to be an NBA player, which he craves so very much. And there are as of the day that Garza came out for the draft, that was Friday, I think he was the 99th player to do so. Well, some of them are just, you know, I don't know why they're even doing it, but they're doing it. Others are doing it because they're going to be NBA draft picks. And then there are those in Garza's position who want to find out. They're not sure where they stand. So if you're not sure, you got to go find out. And I think he'll come back, but I don't know because I don't know when coming back is, you know. I don't know if it's going to be in November of this year or if it's going to be later than that or if it's going to be, you know, in the fall of 2021. So we can speculate to our heart's content on this deal, but what we and everybody else know is the middle of a donut.
Mike, you spent a night or day or two in Ames watching the Iowa State men's basketball team. I wondered about your thoughts on Tyrese Haliburton. We all know he got hurt last year, but are you surprised or not he is as highly regarded as he is for the NBA draft?
Well, you know, it's one of those deals where I got to defer to the experts, and everybody says he's, just about everybody says he's a lottery pick. Terrific passer, nice size, unselfish, etc. Lot of upside. He was like, you know, he was, I'm looking for a metaphor here, but he was a really good player on a really mediocre team. And the year before, when he was surrounded by talent, that was a good Iowa State team. It was a team that should have beaten Ohio State in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And I thought it had potential to do more damage. It won the Big 12 tournament. Well, he had Shayok, he had Wigginton. This season, I just didn't like that team at all. Well, they weren't good. That's why. But so it, I think that you didn't get to see the full Halliburton. But he's a, I mean, he's going to be Iowa State's first rounder, I think, since Craig Brackens. Which
Bryce
was,
White, maybe?
Well, I think, was White a first rounder? You're right.
Okay.
Yep. Good. That's right. And you know, and Iowa hasn't had one since, I can't remember, but there are, you know, there aren't that many of them.
No,
but so I, hey, everybody says Halliburton is one of those guys. Nobody says he's a lead pipe cinch to be a great NBA player, but he's got the, you know, the potential, the skills, the body, all that good stuff. So we'll see.
Yeah. Mike Halas joining us here at 3:39 on a Monday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM. Joe Wieskamp put his name in last year after his freshman season and then came back, obviously, for the Hawkeyes. Luca Garza has made it pretty much known that unless somebody falls in love with him and he's a number one draft choice, that he is going to come back and play for the Hawkeyes next year. Do you see Wieskamp maybe doing the same process again, or maybe holding off until next year?
I don't know. You only get to do it twice,
right?
As an underclassman, or as a non-senior, I should say. So if he does it this year, then next year he can't. He's either got to go pro or just sit at home. I don't see him as an NBA player right now. I think that would be the majority opinion around here. But the thing is, these guys, and it's not just Iowa, it's everywhere. These guys who play at a high level, they all think they're NBA players. You know, to them, it's just a question of when. When do I go? And the truth is, of course, that they're not all NBA players. But you play at a high level like Wieskamp does, like Garza does, Halliburton, etc. They all believe that they belong there. I mean, Lindell Wigginton believed it, and he spent the season in Des Moines. Tyler Cook believed it. He had an NBA contract, but he spent most of his season in the Bush League, the G League. It is rarefied air. It's something that in a non-NBA market like this one, even though the games are on TV, I don't think people fully appreciate how terribly hard it is to make a team, to get an NBA contract, and even harder to stay there. So that's something that you can tell and tell and tell players like Wieskamp and Garza and you name it on any major team across the country. But their self-esteem and their egos tell them, I belong there. I will eventually be there. And then it's up to them to find out if that's true or not.
Mike, predictably, Iowa fans, some up in arms that Obi Toppin was the player of the year, at least Wooden and Naismith. I don't know if you had a vote in any of them, but Scott and I have talked about it. I come down to, Toppin is a wonderful player. He's going to be probably a lottery pick or close to it in the NBA draft. But the quality of competition is what I get stuck on. How do you weigh in on the National Player of the Year?
Well, in this case, it was apples and oranges. I didn't have a vote in the Wooden Award this year. I have in the past. I don't know why I didn't this year.
You and me both, buddy.
Yeah, and I don't care. I mean, 1,000 people vote. My vote wasn't going to change it. But I would have voted for Garza, and that's not out of homerism, although maybe it is. It's because I saw him play in person 26 or 27 times. And his consistency, as you said, against a lot of good big guys, by the way, was remarkable. I mean, it's just, it was game after game after game after game. And we're talking about Jalen Smith, who's going to be an NBA draft pick, and Daniel Oturu, who's going to be a draft pick. And, who else am I forgetting? Xavier Tillman, a great big guy, I think will be in the NBA next year. And John Teske and so forth and so on. The Illinois freshman, Kofi Coburn, terrific. So we're talking the creme de la creme of big guys. We're in the Big Ten by and large. And Garza got his points. Also, I thought, wasn't as bad a defensive player as some would have you believe. Not a great defender, but competent, much improved this year, and averaged almost 10 rebounds a game. Okay, all that. I'm a Luka Garza fan. Anybody who asked me about him around the country, I said this guy's having a fantastic season. But we're prejudiced here, and people. There's nobody here who saw Obi Toppin play 29 games or 31 games, and the deal is Dayton went 29-2, would have been a number one seed if they'd won their conference tournament, and had a better supporting cast for Toppin than Garza had. So Toppin's numbers are going to be less. Toppin, an unselfish player, an inside-outside player, and was absolutely terrific. Now, everybody says he's just a dunker. Well, a dunk is a pretty good shot.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's a high percentage shot. And it's usually, it usually comes because you've worked for it. You've positioned yourself for it. Or you've, stolen the ball and you break away and get one. Okay, there's that. Dayton was 29-2, as I said. Iowa was 20-11. A middle-of-the-pack Big Ten team. If Iowa is 29-2 and Dayton is 20-11, we're not having the discussion. Garza wins it unanimously. Anybody that didn't vote for Garza would have been hunted down. 29-2 matters. I don't care if you're Dayton, if you're Kentucky, or if you're, Maryland Eastern Shore. 29-2 matters. Getting your team to the number three ranking in the country matters to people around the country, and that's just the facts. In 2008, I went to Ames and I saw Iowa State play Kansas State. Kansas State had a freshman named Michael Beasley.
Yep.
He's still in the NBA, I believe. He was dynamic. I said that's the best player in the country. That guy, he averaged like 26 points, 12 rebounds, he led the nation in rebounding, and he was one of the tops in scoring. He did not win the National Player of the Year award. His team was 20-10. The winner was Tyler Hansbrough of North Carolina, who averaged less points, less rebounds. His team was 36-3. And that's what this was. That's all it was. And, game recognizes game. Garza complimented Toppin. Toppin complimented Garza right back. It doesn't seem right to Iowa people, but if you think that Obi Toppin isn't a great player, you didn't watch him play.
True. Very true. Mike Elias joining us at 3:47. Other basketball news out of Iowa City, Cordell Pemsel making his intention known that he is going to be a grad transfer. He'll play somewhere else next year. I guess, were you surprised by that? Did you think that this was coming? And what does this do for Iowa going forward?
I can't say I was surprised, because it seems like throughout much of his career he'd been rumored to be considering transferring. He's going to be a fifth-year senior, and he was very popular with his teammates. For the most part, anytime I talk to a teammate about him, I mean, they love the guy. And you could see during games how much they liked him. And he was a very unselfish player, a big guy who looked to pass, was a good passer. Had a nice freshman year, started 14 games. People forget that. Did a nice job, averaged almost 9 points. In fact, I remember early his freshman year, I was thinking, geez, I thought that Tyler Cook was supposed to be the big catch out of this class. Maybe it's Pemsel, but he had injury issues throughout his career and, you know, missed last season except for a couple of games, and things still stalled out for him. But late in the season, he was doing some good things for that team. So I don't know what the roster situation is going to be, if they can afford to lose him or not, especially since Ryan Kreener's graduated. But he's a guy who's got one more year of ball in him, and I'm sure he wants to go play somewhere and be a big man on campus, you know, be a 25-minute guy, maybe a 30-minute guy. Can't fault him for it.
I don't think it's going to be you and I, though, that a lot of people are speculating.
No, they've got a pretty pat starting lineup.
Yes, they do.
They will be a winner. You know, but I don't know where he's going to turn up. And I don't know how fast some of these things are going to move, given the situation that we're all in right now.
Mike, coming up in about 10 days is the NFL draft, and we're going to visit with Dan Schonk of OurLads.com later in the week. I'm curious from a perspective, having covered Iowa, and two storylines, very different, I think. Tristan Wirfs and A.J. Epenesa. Wirfs, I think, regarded as a top five, top ten pick. And I've seen Epenesa falling down the boards for whatever trivial reason. I guess your thoughts on those two guys and what you will remember about them in their Iowa career.
Well, you know what? I'm like a lot of people who watch football. I don't have my eyes locked in on offensive linemen. So I have to take the word of football people when it comes to offensive linemen, although sometimes it's just plainly obvious. And I work with and among students of the game who can see these things vividly. I with Wirfs, it's, he's gone up, 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 up in the NFL eyes, apparently. And the combine, of course, he was, you know, it was like, you got a record, he'll break it.
True.
You know, just like when he was in the weight room at Iowa. I mean, in the best sense of the word, the guy's a freak. So on top of that, he's really good at being an offensive lineman. And the work ethic's there, the team first thing is there. It's what's not to like, you know. With Epenesa, I don't know. I guess his combine results didn't wow anybody, but I got to think that there's going to be a football person among the teams in the second half of the first round who say, we're just looking at game tape here, and that's an NFL defensive lineman.
True.
Now, maybe it won't happen. Maybe he will be a second rounder, but I'll tell you what, if you're picking 25th or 26th or 30th or 32nd and he's still there and you take him, I think you should be able to sleep pretty well that night.
Very true. Very true. Well, we're coming up on 5 weeks since everything shut down on Thursday, and we'll see, like you said, no one's got a crystal ball. We'll see how much longer we go. We can do what we can do, and hopefully sports will be back sooner than later. But until then, we all do our part, and we cover what we cover, correct?
I just wake up in the morning. It's like a song I heard. I wake up in the morning just glad my boots are on.
Indeed. Indeed. Mike, best of luck to you and the rest of the staff, and thanks for the time. Appreciate it, and you and yours stay well, okay?
Same to you guys.
All right, thanks. Mike Halas, Cedar Rapids Gazette columnist, joining us here on the Gym Class on this Monday on KGYM. We're going to take a break, come back, and have more for you after this. We're presented by Hennings Financial here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents,
Mike,
and paying
Ebbing
the bills.
On the phone.
Retirement
he said
sounds
that
nice, but feels a million
impossible
miles
away. Was talking to you about
calling.
Do you know anything about that?
It's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours.
Oh, okay.
Hennings Financial,
you want to bring him on?
A family-owned firm helping regular families retire
okay,
better.
Okay, hold on.
HenningsFinancial.com.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Today's horoscope brought to you by Geico.
Gemini, you may find yourself struggling with alertness today. That's because you stayed up last night celebrating the hundreds of dollars a year you could save by switching to Geico. Your struggle will continue well into the afternoon during Philip's status meeting, in which you'll say, "No, Philip, I wasn't snoring. I have severe seasonal allergies." Your presentation was riveting. Well played, Gemini.
Geico.
Yeah,
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
He did his other book.
There may be no games.
That'd be good.
No practices.
No high fives.
But we're all still part of a team.
And we all have a role to play.
Right now, that means keeping our distance.
But still checking on each other.
Helping the most vulnerable.
And supporting our heroes.
That are keeping us safe.
Sports may be paused.
But the best parts
are needed now more than ever.
So let's all do our part
to help our team.
Right now.
Hashtag one team, ESPN.
3:54, back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. And Mark, you got there's a friend of yours on the line, I believe, from California that we're going to talk to here briefly.
Yeah, indeed. A former colleague of mine when I was at the Gazette, and he was at the Quad City Times. Mike Ebbing wants to weigh in on his crossing paths with Doug Sanders over the years. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing fine. We're holding up pretty well here in Southern California. So great to hear Mike, and great to hear your voice again. It's been a while since these three sports writers have been together at the same venue.
But, tell us your memories about Doug Sanders.
As far as Doug Sanders, you know, we lose these pro golfers, we lose these pro athletes, and it just brings back so many memories, and it takes me back to the days at Finkbein Golf Course, University of Iowa, Iowa City, and the Amana VIP Golf Tournament, which was the highlight of my summer when I was working for the Quad City Times, and I think you were probably down there a few times. I know Gus Schrader was always there from the Gazette. And anyway, I always remember Doug, a great, great golfer, very competitive, probably well known more for his second place finishes than his tour titles. But the thing that stands out most with me with Doug Sanders is the true gentleman and the flashy dresser he was. He was probably the gentleman's quarterly guy of the pro golf tour back then. And it seemed like he would always play in the Amana VIP with Lou King. And Lou was the vice president of marketing for Amana Refrigeration. And Lou was the one with George Forster that were responsible for getting all of the top-name baseball celebrities, the Nashville singers, and basically top-name draws at the Amana VIP. Like I say, Lou, vice president of marketing, was a pretty flashy dresser himself. And you get Lou and you get Doug Sanders in the same foursome, and they usually picked somebody, Mickey Mantle was there, Roger Maris, Ernie Banks, you know, you name it. They got a President Ford a couple of times. So that's the thing kind of stands out in my mind, and I covered him a little bit more when I moved to California. He started playing in the Toshiba Senior Classic here in Newport Beach. So I got to see him play a few times then. But I guess the thing that really stands out is just the true gentleman he was. I saw him at a few Western Opens in Chicago and the U.S. Open in Medina in Chicago. And we're going back a few years now. I don't know if you were, you may have been in high school back then, Mark. I'm not sure. But,
Mike,
but,
good.
I didn't hear the first part of your show, but I don't know if anybody has talked about Doug. I know, you know, he just passed away over the weekend, so.
Yeah, we talked about him a little bit at the start and his flamboyant outfits at times and how if a couple of putts went down, his career might have been thought of a little bit differently than it was. But, hey, Mike, appreciate it, and great to hear from you, and thank you very much for checking in with us today.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, Mark. My pleasure.
All right. Mike Ebbing joining us, formerly of the Quad City Times right there. And Mark, tomorrow Mike DeCourcy is going to join us, talk a little bit about the process for these basketball players, what they're facing next, including Luka Garza and some of the other Big Ten players. We're going to do that with Mike DeCourcy coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Kia Stokes will join us on Wednesday from the New York Liberty, not playing WNBA basketball right now. Have a good night, Mark.
All right, sounds good.
All right, you've been listening to the Gym Class at KGYM.
In business today, being ready is more challenging than ever. As you work to keep your doors open and employees and customers protected, Cintas is here to help. Our trucks can deliver a